There was a time when faithful Christians would be shriven at this time of the year. In the days leading up to the season of Lent, we would have been sure to come to church for a good shriving. We would have done that no later than this past Tuesday, the last chance to get shriven for Lent. That's why this past Tuesday is commonly known as Shrove Tuesday, the last day for shriving, when I would have been shriven by someone who shrove me. You get the picture? Or do you? Anyone know what I'm talking about? All right. Well, let's set that aside for now and consider the larger Lenten context for a moment. Lent always begins on a Wednesday. It begins on a Wednesday because the season of Lent lasts for 40 days, ending on the Saturday before Easter Sunday. And the six Sundays during the Lenten season, the next six Sundays, are not actually counted as part of those official 40 days of Lent, because Sundays are seen as kind of mini Easters. But if you count all the other days, starting with this past Wednesday up until April the 3rd this year, you'll get 40 days, the 40 days of Lent. You can check this out for yourself on your calendars. Lent is meant to be a time of preparation for Easter, just as Advent prepares us for Christmas. Now, the word Lent has no religious meaning whatsoever. It simply refers to the time of the year when the days are getting longer. The Lent, the length of our days, is increasing. The idea of spending 40 days getting ready for Easter is related, of course, to our gospel reading, in which Jesus is said to have spent 40 days in the wilderness preparing for his ministry. The reading tells us that Jesus was tempted to take some easy ways out rather than exercising his vocation with integrity. And the same thing happens to us when we step on the path towards Easter. We also need that 40-day period to prepare ourselves so that we can celebrate Easter with integrity. But how do we prepare ourselves for Easter? Easter is the most challenging, albeit profound, focal point of the Christian tradition. It presents us with the central mystery of our faith, and it invites us into the essence of Christian spiritual awareness. And we need, therefore, to be spiritually alert in order to face Easter. And Lent then has to be a time when we hone our spiritual sensitivity. Now, over the centuries, the church has dreamt up all sorts of spiritual practices and disciplines for us to exercise during Lent. Most of these have included the renunciation of material pleasures so that we can give our time and attention to spiritual endeavors instead. Moreover, it was always seen to be important to get rid of our hedonistic inclinations before Lent began. Eat, drink, be merry, go on a tear, get that party animal out of your system. That's the origin of the Mardi Gras carnival. Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, pancakes with lots of butter and syrup. The last splurge before the shriving. Back to the shriving. The shriving happened in church. You would go to the priest, make your confession, be given instructions for penance, which might include the recitation of prayers, participation in liturgical activities, refraining from harmful practices. On Shrove Tuesday, these instructions would obviously be part of a shriving for Lent, a Lenten prescription, if you will. The word prescription, of course, comes from the same root as to shrive. Now, I believe that it's a very good idea for Christians to have a Lenten prescription. But being a good Protestant, I don't believe that we need to get one from a priest. The last thing we Protestants want is a priest or a minister telling us what to do. So we're going to have to come up with the prescription ourselves. Protestant, shrive thyself. We are allowed, and of course encouraged, to get some help with our self-shriving by consulting the wisdom of the Bible. That's why we have our gospel reading for today on this first Sunday in Lent. Now, our attempts to enhance our spiritual sensitivity are fraught with temptations to take the easy way out. And a favorite biblical way of describing this struggle is to describe it as a conversation with the devil. And we have such a conversation in our gospel reading today. There are several others in the Bible. So Jesus has a conversation with the devil as he is preparing himself for ministry out there in the wilderness. Another typical theme, of course, the preparation in the wilderness. And the number 40, but don't let me go to all those places. Notice that it is the devil who starts the conversation, which again is a typical sequence of events in such biblical stories. Our opportunity to live a good life can be ruined by false pictures of what that good life might be. And those false pictures will confront us even before we realize what true goodness can be. Those false pictures will pop into our minds. They will present themselves in all sorts of ways through various messages as we enter this kind of conversation with the devil. Now, the basic components of this fundamental story is very simple. God provides us with a good life in our world, a good world. But there is something within us that finds it hard to accept that we can be happy with God's providence and God's will for us. And so we're tempted to look for happiness elsewhere, and we are easily led astray. The temptations come no matter how good we are, no matter how well we understand and even appreciate the providence and the will of God. Presumably, Jesus understood God's will better than anyone and appreciated God's providence more than anyone, but that did not stop him from facing temptation. And that did not stop the devil from coming to him with that conversation about making the gospel just a little bit more attractive. You want people eating out of your hands, don't you? Well, turn these stones into bread and give them what they want. You want the whole world to know about you, don't you? Well, let me help you. I've got the connections and I know all the tricks. You want people to admire you, don't you? Well, jump from the towers of the temple. Give them a show. It could have been so much better, couldn't it? That story and that gospel of Jesus could have been so much more exciting, so much more glorious. It would have been so good in 3D. Jesus chose to stick with that which God had provided, a simple life with no worldly wealth or power, a simple ministry of calling for justice and showing compassion for one and all. And thus, in the supreme irony of human existence, Jesus shows us that the way to improve the quality of our lives is to reject the illusion of the greener pastures on the other side of the hill and to accept the good reality that has already been provided for us. Lent, then, may be a time in which we examine what is good in our lives, to examine what is good and adequate and simply enough, and to reject the false visions of the devil's Never Never Land. There are two sides to such a Lenten examination. One is the rejection of the false alternatives. Where the grass seems greener on the other side of the hill, when somebody else's life seems so much better than your own, when you start yearning for and toying with relationships outside of the commitment to your life partner, when you think you can improve your life through some shady business deal or cheating on your income tax, when you think your neighborhood or your community or your workplace, your church, would be better off without certain people in it, often these are false alternatives. And an honest examination of the situation will help us then to accept our current reality as a good reality. This is my life. This is my reality. This is my family. This is my community. This is my world. Why do we always think we need that which is bigger and better? Why can't we be satisfied with our lot in life? Now, please understand that I'm not arguing for some uncritical status quo where injustice has its way with us, where there are no dreams for a better world. Jesus himself had lots of dreams for a better world, and there's plenty of room for improvement in each of our lives, in each of our communities, but we'd better not be fooled into thinking that a better life will come with an increase in power and wealth, with sensational entertainment, or with winning the lottery. And we should be very careful that we don't find ourselves striving for improvement at the expense of that which is already intrinsically good in our world and in our lives. And so the other side of our Lenten examination is the reaffirmation of that which is good, so that we won't throw the good things away or be tricked into the illusion of greener pastures. And so we can review and affirm intentionally the goodness that we know in our lives, in our households, in our communities, in our church life together. Lent has a reputation for being a negative sort of season in which we give up the things that we like, somehow suffer through it. Time in which we deny ourselves for the sake of the gospel, to use a biblical phrase, but interpreted in that negative way. Our focus in Lent should not be on negativity. As I've already suggested, and as we talked about it with the kids, the reason for giving up our obsession with material things is to make room in our lives for a focus on a spiritual well-being, which is, in fact, profoundly positive and life-enhancing. In his conversation with the devil, Jesus rejected the use of power, wealth, and entertainment as tools for living the good life and as tools for building up the reign of God. Instead, he chose a simple life of loving and serving others, a life of justice and integrity, but a life of genuine abundance. And that is, of course, the life that we are looking for in our Lenten journey, and that is ultimately the life that we are going to affirm and celebrate in the great festival of Easter. Our gospel reading then gives us plenty of fodder for our Lenten journey, but we still have some shriving to do. We need a roadmap, an itinerary. We need a plan for the weeks ahead. We need to shrive ourselves a prescription. And the possibilities are many. And of course, I'm counting on you good Protestants to come up with an appropriate plan for yourselves. We do have some bits to help us along the way, though. We have a bit of an itinerary here at TSP in our Wednesday evening sessions that go throughout the Lenten season. It might also be worth drawing your attention to a suggestion brought to us by our friends at Kairos. As part of its ongoing re-energized campaign, Kairos has invited us to participate in a carbon fast for Lent. In the words of the invitation, for 40 days we journey with Jesus into the desert to confront our addiction to fossil fuels, to examine the impact it has on the earth, on human rights, and situations of conflict. We cannot do this alone. As the Spirit was with Jesus in the desert, we call on that same Spirit of God to be present with us in this Lenten season. A carbon fast from Kairos. Kairos has plenty of suggestions, including a Lenten calendar with something to do each day. From reducing the time we spend in the shower to spending more time with loved ones. Evidently not in the shower. The calendar includes a weekly advocacy action. Actions such as meeting with our members of parliament to discuss the privatization of water or the labeling of grocery items with carbon footprint information. All kinds of suggestions. The Kairos Fast for Lent has a strong emphasis on the goodness of creation and abundant life for which we strive through our Lenten restraint. In other words, it has the context that we need in order to get into our Lenten journey. It's a prescription that fits well with the sort of Lenten shriving that I'm talking about today. And all of the information, of course, is on the Kairos website at kairoscanada.org. There are many other ways in which we can shrive ourselves for Lent. But each of them will involve a discernment and a rejection of some illusion that claims to enhance our lives. Lent is a time to reject the empty promises that are being thrown at us from billboards and television screens by snake oil artists of every description, including those who peddle false religion. Our task is to embrace the simple life that Jesus chose, to be true to our genuine selves, to relate to each other with honest integrity, and to open ourselves to the presence of the Spirit, and so to discover abundant life. I wish you well in your Lenten journey, and may your shriving bear good fruit. Amen.